At the city of 10,000 Buddhas, there are all kinds of people. There are very good people, and there are also very bad people. There are people who want to cultivate the way, and there are also people who want to be lazy bugs. There are all kinds of people. In any group, the dragons and snakes intermingle. That is to say, the members are not all the same. So you shouldn't think that every person at the city of 10,000 Buddhas is a diligent cultivator. At the city, there are also many people who don't cultivate. It's simply a matter of whether or not you recognize them. People who believe in Buddhism should understand many subjects, not just one subject. If you can find the good points in a bad situation, then that can be called cultivation. Just now, what did you say sick people were? Upasaka Lin replies, sick people are great bodhisattvas right next to us, whom we can learn from. They inspire us to bring forth thoughts of kindness, compassion, joy, and giving. Sick people manifest the appearance of being sick in order to teach us. First of all, we should understand why they are sick. The reason they are sick is because they didn't know how to take good care of the body. That's why they became sick. And they are manifesting the sickness in order to teach others. They are letting us know that being sick is a lot of suffering. So they are speaking the Dharma for us, causing us to think, if I see others die, my heart burns like fire. It's not burning for them, but because I know it will soon be my turn. Therefore, when we see the pain and suffering of others while we ourselves are still healthy, it should spur us on to work even harder at cultivation. It is said, don't wait until you're old to study the way. The lonely graves are mostly those of young people. So, regarding cultivation, people shouldn't think, oh, I'll wait till I'm 70 or 80 years old, when nobody wants me anymore, and my children don't want to take care of me. Then I'll go to the monastery and leave the home life. Well, by the time you're 70 or 80 years old, even the monastery won't want to take you. So that is not a good idea. What should you do then? You should start cultivating diligently while you're still young. Don't wait until you're too old to cultivate the way. The lonely graves are mostly those of young people. The people in those lonely, solitary graves are all by themselves because they died when they were young, before they got married and had children. So when we see those solitary graves, we shouldn't wait any longer to cultivate. We should think, I'm also a young person. So if we can reflect on the situations that we encounter and bring forth the resolve to cultivate the way, then it can be said that these states are also speaking the Dharma for us. That's why I often say that all the myriad things in the world, whether they are good or bad, proper or improper, are speaking the Dharma. We should be very careful in the way we conduct ourselves as people. We should be as careful as if we are walking on the brink of an abyss, or as if treading on thin ice. We shouldn't be so bold and reckless as to transgress the precepts set down by heaven. We should always be aware that heaven has heavenly laws, the earth has earthly laws, and people also have their own laws. Each has its own laws. Heaven, earth, and people are called the three realms, and we are within these three realms. As it's said, if we can see things and awaken to them, then we can transcend the world. But if we see things and are confused, then we fall onto the revolving wheel. If you can see things around you and understand the way they are, then you will transcend the world. But if you see things and you don't understand them, and you are instead confused by them, then you will fall onto the turning wheel. If you look into this in detail, you'll find that all the myriad things, without exception, are speaking the Dharma. Why is this Dharma being spoken? It's being spoken to counteract our faults and our bad habits. If we can become enlightened when we encounter these states, instead of being affected and swayed by these states, if we can influence states instead of being influenced by them, then we may be called cultivators of the way. We must have strong resolve, samadhi power, wisdom power, and the power of precepts. If we want to have samadhi power, then we must first cultivate the precepts. Earlier, someone talked about doing no evil. That's also the precepts. Practicing all good deeds is also the precepts. Doing no evil means to stop doing all kinds of evil deeds. Practicing all good deeds means offering up all good conduct. If we can refrain from all evil deeds and practice all good deeds, then our minds will naturally become pure. We will no longer have any stupid or discursive thoughts in our mind. Our crazy minds and wild natures will settle down, and we won't be deluded by wealth or by beauty. Nor will we be deluded by fame and profit. That's wealth, beauty, and fame. As for food, we won't be hung up on eating, and we won't be confused by sleep. Sleep is one of the five coverings. If we sleep too much, then we will become stupid. Take a look at pigs. What they do is they just eat their fill and then they fall into a deep slumber, snoring very loudly. And when they've slept enough, they get up and eat some more. After eating their fill, they doze off again. That's all they do all day long. They just keep eating until one day people will slaughter them and eat their meat. We should follow the saying, be diligent and economical in managing the household, and the family will prosper. Teach the children at home, and the family's descendants will become worthy ones. Every family should teach its children well. When the children are educated well, then the family will prosper. When all families can prosper, then the country will also do well. When the country is prosperous, it will have a good position in the world. So we should cherish ourselves and cultivate ourselves well. To cultivate ourselves, we must make our minds proper. If our minds are not proper, then we won't be able to cultivate ourselves. And if we cannot cultivate ourselves, then we won't be able to govern the country well. If the country isn't well governed, then there won't be any peace in the world. Therefore, the foremost thing is to eradicate desire. That means we should sever all our materialistic desires and greed. We should eliminate all thoughts of lust. Once we have eliminated all thoughts of desire, we can extend our knowledge. That is to say, we can activate our inherent wisdom. Extending knowledge means bringing forth our innate wisdom. If we want to extend our knowledge and have true wisdom, first we have to make our will sincere. And how can we make our will sincere? We have to first concentrate on one thing and not allow ourselves to be distracted. In every moment, we should devote ourselves completely to whatever we are doing without being distracted. That's what it means to make the will sincere. Once our will is sincere, we can make our mind proper. And after our minds are proper, we can begin to cultivate ourselves. Having cultivated ourselves, we can then regulate the families. After our families are regulated, then the country can be well governed. And once all countries are well governed, there will be peace in the world. With peace in the world, the guns and knives will be put away, and all the horses will be set to graze in the southern mountains. All the wars will disappear from the world. So we must start with ourselves, by eliminating our own desires. We shouldn't have any desire for wealth, for beauty, for fame, food, or sleep. These are the so-called five desires. If we have any of these five desires, then we haven't cut off our desires, and then we won't be able to extend our knowledge. nor will we be able to make our will sincere, make our minds proper, cultivate ourselves, regulate our families, govern the country, or bring peace to the world. We won't be able to do any of these things. So if we go back to the root of it all, the most basic thing is to eradicate desire. Once we understand how to eradicate desires, we will understand everything else. But if we don't get rid of desires, and we still have many thoughts of desire in our minds, then our inherent wisdom will never develop. We should all pay attention to this point. In Confucianism, there are 8 principles. There are also the 3 guidelines, which are, first, to reveal our bright virtue, second, to renovate the people, and third, to attain the highest goodness. Revealing our bright virtue refers to revealing our inherent virtuous nature, which we all possess. We are adorned with the myriad virtues in our fundamental nature, but these virtues are not manifest. We are confused and muddled because we haven't yet revealed our bright virtue. So the first step is to reveal our bright virtue. The second step is to renovate the people. This means that once we have understood the principles ourselves, we should introduce them to our fellow human beings, with the wish that all people will understand them. Once we renovate the people, then everyone can attain the highest goodness. They can all reach the highest stage, the most supreme state. We can all reach the level of the greatest wisdom. We can understand these principles, and then all the myriad things in the world are speaking the Dharma. They are all telling us to reflect within, to reform our faults, and to become good cultivators. If we can understand this, then all the myriad things are speaking the Dharma. But if we don't understand, then all the myriad things in the world will just blur our vision and make us dazed and confused, so that we won't know what to do. So if we can see things and awaken to them, then we will transcend the world. But if we see things and are confused by them, we will just fall onto the turning wheel again. The good things, good events, are speaking the Dharma for us, and bad events are also speaking the Dharma for us. Events which are neither good nor bad are also speaking the Dharma for us. And if we can understand this, then we won't need to come to this lecture hall in the International Translation Institute to listen to the Dharma. At all times and in all places, we will be learning. In all times and places, we can listen to the Dharma, and it will be just like this. We can listen to this wonderful Dharma, which is everywhere. And the experience of the inherent nature will be discovered, and it doesn't come from outside.